discussing cases where the employer is backing out of the deal and is causing the worker to lose money based on the fact backed out. Does the worker have claims to get compensation? He lost the job. So we find in the last 2 weeks there's two categories where he can get compensation. One is when he's lost a client because of you. You picked up a date, he reserved that spot, you backed out at the last moment where it was impossible to fulfill that spot, and he was turning away customers because he already had that slot filled, and now it's too late. Then the worker has a right to compensation. And another scenario, which we're discussing as well 2 weeks ago, where the worker has already started the job. Once he started the job, or even preparation for the job, like buying the materials, it's ready then too late to back out, and if you back out at that stage, you have to pay for the fact that we already said there's like a transaction, a kinyan already taking place, that the job has to take effect. And if you back out, even if he didn't lose the job because of you, but he's already started the job, then it's too late to back out. Before we talk about the case which we just mentioned at the end of last week, let's start with a case, another case which came to Beistin. So, we have Reuven, who's now interested in going on a course which has been offered for 8 sessions course to learn all about alternative medicine. So, he's interested, he phones up and he says, I want to join the course. They said, fine, you can join the course, but the condition is that we have to take down a deposit first of 1,000 shekels for the course. The course being altogether 4,000 shekels. We want 1,000 shekel down deposit. And you should know, if you miss one session, you can't continue and say, well, I missed this week and I can go next week. You miss one session, that's it, you're out. It's a course which is consecutive, and you can't just pick and choose which series of lectures you can go to. You have to turn up. You miss, you miss. So,
and you lose your money.
Yes.
You now have to go to the next session.
Losing money wasn't spoken about. So he said, "This is our conditions. You can't go to the next session." No.
Can you go just for information? I mean, you're not going to pass the course, but you just go stop.
No.
Because
the information, they do this sometimes, so the information which is being given out is really proprietary. And therefore they want people to be very serious, and often it follows from the previous lecture as well, and you have no idea and you hold up the whole group on your questions. Now, so he agrees, doesn't sign the contract, he agrees, he deposits 1,000 shekels by then, and there's an agreement. The first lecture comes. Everybody turns up besides Reuven. Doesn't turn up. After the lecture, it was noticed that Reuven wasn't there. So they phoned him up and said, what happened? Why weren't you there? So he said, you know what? I was so busy today, I forgot that the lecture was tonight. Look, I haven't even started the course. Look, next time Mr. Sherman comes up, I'll join the course. Please give me back my money, and Mr. Sherman, I'll join the course next time. The organizers of the course said, no, that wasn't the deal. The deal was, you have to turn up for every session. If you don't turn up for one session, you can't go to the next session. And you gave us money, and you can't back out. It's opposite. You have to pay us another 3,000 shekels. So, comes to Beistin, and that's the start of it. Now, based on what we've learnt, That if you back out at the last moment, or back out of the deal, then you're only entitled to compensation for two factors so far we've learned. One, if you've already started the job, you can't back out. Another, if you lose a customer because of him booking a situation and then backing out at those, then you can get compensation.
So was there limited space in this?
In this situation, you don't have either.
Yeah, but this situation is very
because different. You don't have any start of the job for him specifically, and they did lose a customer because of him. They had more room for more people to.
You have a verbal agreement here.
You have a verbal agreement, but how much is a verbal agreement worth? We said the verbal agreement is only worth anything in monetary wise if you've got these two factors so far. If you started the job, it's too late.
No.
Or you lose the customer.
You
damaged him.
You have explicit
over here,
terms.
You haven't got either.
You have explicit terms here, though. Previously, there was no explicit terms.
Is he entitled to get his money back? What?
Here's this explicit term.
Explicit terms. Of what? Explicit terms of what?
That, right. But
so
that was not what we dealt
with.
Let
me say that's explicit terms. I want to buy an insurance policy. I come to your insurance agent and say, look, I'm buying insurance. Yes. And everything discussed. Yeah. An hour sitting down in the office discussing all the things and find agreement. Fine. And everything discussed. But now you're back out. You can back out. Not nice thing to back out. Yes.
You have an agreement.
Is there any monetary claim you got against the person who backed out? Yes, you got a verbal agreement. Now, how much is a verbal agreement worth in halacha?
The same as a written agreement, isn't it?
Yeah, does it go?
If both sides say yes, we agreed, we had this discussion. No one's denying it. That should be binding.
Yes, but what binds it?
You get money.
Money. How does money bind it?
Kenyan.
Not Kenyan.
So we're here to learn how you can make proper agreements, so it's not silly. But in this case, what's that law? Now, discussion whether it's a Kenyan, not Kenyan. Let's look at our first Maramoka. The receiver brings down Shinamagil and says like this. The poll, a worker is domi lakaka. A worker, hiring worker, is like land. Buying land, renting land. Why? Because he's like an eved, he's your slave. And the slave is like land. And therefore, vadai atne bekesef. The way to acquire a worker is through money. You can make an acquisition of a worker by just paying him. When you're paying, just like you buy land, you can buy land with money. You can also buy a worker also with money. And therefore the transaction you can make is money. Once you make a transaction, everything's now binding. Once you bought something, you can't back out, can you? So over here, we have an extra factor that you can make a transaction which can prevent a working back out by just giving money. Because that now makes a Kenyan on him. He can't back out, and you can't back out of having him. Works two ways.
Like a deposit? I'm giving you a deposit before you start the job?
Yes.
I'm not so sure he's the power here. Because the person who's getting the money is not the person who's doing the teaching.
Person getting the money is the one who is in charge of organizing the whole job.
Right, but he's not
he's
a
what we call in halacha a shaliach.
No, he's not. He's the one that keeps the money.
He's a shaliach. He's he's a shaliach for the poll. Or he's the company itself. He organizes. He's got responsibilities
right,
to you.
But I'm not paying you.
Like the builder. You pay the builder. He's building your house. He probably doesn't even lift a brick. He's the one shouting at this ad, organizing that ad to come, and yeah, he doesn't build at all.
Okay.
But he's your worker. He's your worker, and you paid your worker. He's got responsibility now to do the job. Does he have to do it himself? Now you can get somebody else to do it. But his is a responsibility because you acquired him. That he has to now work for you, and you have to now pay him for the job. Now, how much would you pay if what a transaction is taking place? You have to pay for the whole job or not for the whole job?
Whatever the terms are.
What did we see last week? We said that if you call somebody you lost and you lost a job, you have to pay for it. How much do you pay? We said half. Why? Because at the end of the day, he doesn't have to work. He's not losing anything. He's losing a job. On the other hand, he's benefiting. In fact, he doesn't have to do the job. So get the whole money. Can't get the whole money. It's not fair. Get the whole money. To get no money? No, because you're causing damage. How much you pay? If you don't know, so you say half. In this case, would he have to pay half or the whole?
Oh, they have an agreement.
You pay half or whole? Also, they have an agreement.
No, they have an agreement.
Yes.
What was the case last time again?
You also have an agreement.
Last time, if I showed up, I was going to pay. I didn't show up.
Yeah, you're going to cut my hair. You have an agreement to cut my hair.
I made an appointment.
A 35 shekel, 50 shekel haircut. Yeah? You can. He had room for other people.
Now we can.
He didn't lose because of him. Because he had room for 9 people. Yeah, he had 7 people. Yeah, but did you lose because I said I'm coming and then I didn't turn up? You're losing me.
Correct.
Yeah, so losing me is not called a loss. I didn't cause you damage. I just prevented you getting me.
Correct.
Yeah, so therefore we say, if there's a transaction, I can't do that because it's too late to back out. If there's no transaction, then you can back out. It's not nice, but you can back out. So here, there is a transaction, you can't back out. Fine. But how much do you have to pay?
Well, I'm not even causing you to lose me, because I said I'll just join the next session.
Yeah, he said, so here, the reason why you pay is not because you caused him a loss of money, and not because he already started the job. The reason why you have to pay here is because it's too late. You already did a transaction, a kinyan. Once you buy a house, you can't say, I changed my mind. It's too late. Mm-hmm. So now you say you can't back out because it's too late. How much do you have to pay?
The amount agreed to.
No, if there was a kinyan, then it's the whole 4,000 shekel.
So then you would have to pay the whole 4,000 shekel. Not like last week where we were charging you because of damages. And we're working out how much you damaged him. Well, you backed out, you damaged him. He lost the job, but he gains because now he doesn't have to work for you. So damage is half. This week, the reason why he's paying is not because of damages. The reason why he's paying is because it's too late. He already bought you, you already bought him. You can't back out. If there's ready a deal, then you can say to him, look, I'm ready to work for you. You turn up, you don't turn up, doesn't make a difference to me, but I'm willing to keep my part back. And if you don't, you still have to pay me. I already made the kinyan.
You have an additional denied that you missed one, you can't. That's a bit of beyond normal because, okay, let me continue the course from there. But they have an additional denied that you can't continue.
Now, let me ask you, if I write a contract, everyone knows, and I put lots of conditions, even abnormal ones, and you understand these conditions, and you're accepting them, and you sign on it, can you turn around and say, well, I'm ready to go through the deal, but without the abnormal conditions? Can you just change like that once you signed on the documents? No. So if we're saying that it's a kinyan which you can't back out, then you're also bound by all the conditions. Doesn't matter how silly they are. If you agreed and you understood them, then you're bound by them.
What's the point of the deposit in the first place if he had to pay no matter what? So why there has to be a reason why they don't demand a deposit.
To see if they are serious.
Right.
And also, there's two reasons for deposits, yeah? One is that we want some money. We need to have money in our pockets to just get things going. And another is to see how serious you are.
And he's less likely to change his mind. Meaning, if he didn't give any money and he decides
that. And not only that, we're saying he can't change his mind. You're stuck. So we're saying over here this week, that you can't back out once there's a kinyan. A kinyan is money, and then you have to pay the whole lot. Not just like last week where it's damages and you're paying half. Now, is a deposit a kinyan?
Depends if it's refundable or not. Depends if it's refundable.
It's not refundable. Well, I mean, no. What do you mean? I just asked for deposits. I said, we need a deposit, 1,000 shekels. Is a kinyan or not a kinyan?
It's the first payment.
So?
The first payment.
Money is, yeah, money. Money, we said, money is a kinyan. Yeah? First payments. You're not going to pay another 4,000 after this. This is part of the payment. Yeah? So, let's look number two. The second line. This is the Beis Shlomo, one of the early Achronim. Second line. Third word in the line. Start from there. V'lo yisi the public otom me'olam al edrach. And no one ever made objections to a deposit. That's what edrach is. Shlo yorbatos kinyan kesed. No one suggests ever that a deposit should work as a kinyan like money. V'edetit v'onadonike v'choyom. That's how we look at it. A deposit is a kinyan. That's how we look at it. Now let's quickly go to number three. The fourth line down of the Shutz Mayim Chaim. The end of the what lines, it says, Imkein, last four words. Imkein, Fiyah Yidua, Sha'ata Nogu Kola Tzolchim, Litzin Edov. Now, standard business, everyone takes deposits. But Ekvon Zalikdes Radov, when they take deposits, the understanding is not that they're going to actually acquire with the deposits. If Kelo Habika Elakar, then it's only like a guarantee. What is a deposit, says Mankind? It's not a kinyan. It's there as a guarantee to make me feel better, make me feel sure or more secure that there's going to be a deal go through. So like we discussed already, what's the purpose of a deposit? It has two aspects. One is to see whether you're really serious and you're not just speaking words. Another is that I need money. So, according to Mein Chaim, a deposit is not a kinyan. All it is that saying, look, we haven't done any kinyanim over here. But I need money as a deposit as to see how serious you are. No, it's not just words, you're really going to go through with it. That's what I need a deposit for. The kinyan would be either a star document or you speak it out that this is witness is binding because we are giving money and we're making now a deal which you can't back out because of the money. But if you just say I'm taking a deposit, what deposit mean? Standard business in this Eretz Yisrael, when you say deposit, it means that I'm taking this down as a guarantee, but if you're going to back out, I'm going to keep this money which you gave me. The money which I've got in my pocket is there to say you have to be serious because you're going to lose this money. Not that this money is a kinyan on the whole job, but if you back out, you're going to lose the money which you've just given me. That's what deposit is. Yes. It's a guarantee at which you're going to lose if you back out. Therefore, we have a machlokas here what deposit is. What's the halakhic status of deposit? Is it a kinyan or just a guarantee for the job? And therefore, when you back out, you back out, you can back out, but you're going to lose the money. Since it's a machlokas, where the money is, you keep, and therefore he can only keep, in this case, 1,000 shekels they can keep. But they can't force him to pay the other 4,000 shekels. Now, to make sure that it is a kinyan, you have to speak of that. Not just say, I want a deposit. You have to say that, look, this is a binding deal. Let's make a transaction on the deal. Give me some money up front. This money represents a transaction on the whole deal. Even 5 shekels will do for you. Then you will have a kinyan and you can't back out. Deposit, we entered into this machlokas, and therefore the only money which you can keep is the money which you received.
They said it is a binding deal.
But they didn't say we're going to make the deal binding through the deposit which you gave us. You have to say this money is to sanctify the deal. Okay. Now we... Yes?
Let's say instead of... I mean, maybe semantics. But let's say instead of calling it a deposit, I call it a... Let's say instead of calling a deposit, I call it a retainer. That is really, you know, this is towards the first bill. Why?
Because you gotta pay for the whole thing. A retainer, let's say there is no other bill.
Oh, it could be towards the first bill.
You say.
But by retainer, it's just depending how much you're gonna work. You might need more money out
of it. Also is a bit ambiguous, right. I think.
No, not a guarantee. It's not in our book. A retainer means
it's going
I'm not, I don't trust you, so I want you to cash up front. No. No. Lavdavka.
If they would say we require the first payment of $1,000, and call it the first payment.
So then, that's what's called the make a deal. Yeah? And then we'll be more likely to say that that's a transaction. But it's best, so you shouldn't fall into the interpretation of different dayanim, it's best to speak it out clearly that God's deal, let's sanctify this deal, make it binding that no one can pull out, and if you pull out, you're going to have to pay for a lot through payment of this 5 shekel. And once you say those words, no way of interpreting differently. Let us now go to the case which we mentioned at the end of last week.
I'm just wondering here, why is it a crucial criteria that I have to have Kavana to make a Kenyan? I may not know what Kenyan is, but it's still a Kenyan. When I give somebody money,
because if there's ways of interpreting what you're doing in two ways, so how do we know which way to interpret it? Are you making a Kenyan, or are you just saying, ah, this is my a guarantee for the deal? So we don't know what you're doing. You could be doing this, you could be doing this. So therefore you have to speak it out. Otherwise, you'll be interpreted one way, while
why
the other.
Why are the two mutually exclusive? Why can't I be making a Kenyan and guaranteeing at the same time?
No, because a guarantee means is that you back out, but you're going to lose this money. That's what a guarantee. You don't need a guarantee if the dinin's ready, if it's ready binding, what do you need a guarantee for?
Because I won't have to slap you in the basement.
And you can have all the money up front.
Well, I don't have any customers.
Okay. Now, let's move on. Shimon just became a chassan, and now he's making preparations with chassana. He has to decide which band, music band, he's going to hire. He goes to one of his friend's chassanas, and is very impressed by the band, and therefore makes a decision that that's going to be the band for my chassana. He goes out of the hall, and he sees a truck, says, band Shimon ben Yosef. He makes an assumption that that Shimon ben Yosef band truck is the band that's playing inside the hall, and he takes down the number. Goes home, the following day he phones up Shimon ben Yosef and he says, I want to hire you, you played excellently, you're the band for me. So it's time. Okay, what's the date? And he reserves the spot for that date and he says, please send me a check of a deposit check for the job. $400. So he sent it off, and it was cashed. Shimon then, a month later, goes to another friend's customer. And there, he sees the same band as he saw the first customer, the one that he hired. After the hustling, he goes up to him and says, you're great, this is what I want you to play at my customer. He says, who are you? My name is Shimon. Shimon, when is your chasna? He told him his chasna. Another month. So he says, looked on his diary and said, I haven't got you down as being, that's your, I'm saying for you at all. So what had happened? It's Shimon ben Yosef. Yes, you're Shimon ben Yosef. So what happened? What had happened at the end was revealed. That when he went to the first customer and he saw the bad plane, but there was another hall at the same place. And there was also band playing over there. And it happened to be that both bands had the same name. And so when he came out and he saw the truck, Shimon ben Yosef, it was the other band from the other hall. And he's not such a good band player, the other guy. So he wanted to back now out of the deal.
Probably why he was in the same name.
So he phoned him up and said, look, you're not bad for me, I want to back out, please return the money. He said, no, firstly, you gave me money. Secondly, you're backing out too late, there's no way I can get a customer this late in the day. And therefore, you have to pay me for the whole job, because unless you can find me a replacement, otherwise, you're going to have to pay for the whole job, not just the $400 which you've given me. What? Mecca, of course. I tricked you. No. I'm a bad player. Yes, I play music. I'm charging you the price which my standard charges. Yes, I'm charging the price my standard charges.
What about quality,
where's the Mecca toss?
You picked the wrong bank.
So it's your fault you picked the wrong bank.
Megatoss could be the owner's fault, right? Megatoss could also be the buyer's fault.
Yeah. Okay.
Still Megatoss.
But what's the blemish here? He didn't buy it. He asked for a chair and he got tabled, didn't he? Deposit for the job. Yeah. Same as the third case. Deposit. But here, he's claiming, not only I got the money, but you're backing out too late, and I can't get a replacement customer.
A loss.
And therefore I'm losing, not only because of the money, even if you wouldn't give me money, you would have to give me money, because you put me in a situation now that I've lost because of your booking. Yeah, he says I've turned customers away. He makes two claims in Basin. One is, you gave me money. Secondly, you made me lose jobs, so therefore you have to pay.
You just said a deposit is not a Kenyan, you just learned.
Deposit is not a Kenyan. Okay, so we can knock off the first reason, deposit is not a Kenyan, and you can only keep the amount of money, fine. But as the second timer, which is last week's share, that I've lost the word. And now you have to pay for damages. Yes, you have to pay for damages.
You have to pay something.
But Paul Bosser. And you have to pay half for that, yes. So we'll have to make an adjustment. If the whole job is $900, you paid $400 already. Yeah? So now you have to pay for damages reasons another $50. Yeah? Make such an adjustment. There's three reasons now, I think. Starting, even not starting, but causing me to lose a customer, or the transaction. Here he's claiming, I've got two. We said deposit's not clear, but damages is.
Is it relevant if someone else calls between now and the class, like with the school, even if they don't in the booking?
That is a bit relevant, yes, but it's understood that that late in the day is considered damages.
If we're calling it that there's no Kenyan there, then whatever happens on his side is his problem. He never.
But damages. You made me lose a job. You booked me.
Then it's a Kenyan.
No, damages. Last week. No Kenyan. You booked me. I pushed other people away because of your booking. Now you back out and I can't get a replacement. You damaged me. You have to pay for damages. Last week. Yeah? Well, nothing to do with Kenyan. So let's look. Number four. Call onus she'ira lapol. If there's an onus that happens to the worker, bein sheshneim hayu yodin. Whether it's a type of onus which everyone can work out at the beginning that could happen, shedach onus lebo, or sheshneim ein yodin, or whether it's a type of onus which one can't predict. What's the halacha? Who suffers the loss in the case of owners? To say there's a poll, the worker loses, not the balabais.
You picked the wrong band.
Is this a nonus? Is this not a nonus? We're saying over here, what's the halacha? We're saying, if it's a nonus, if it's a nonus, then the one who loses is the worker. Is this called a nonus? Not called a nonus.
No. Not an onus. I agree with Yermin, this is very unusual.
You guys should have to think double.
They have the same name. Who would think the same band and the same name in the same hall on the same night?
Exactly.
It's not reasonable to expect.
The reason he made the decision is an onus. It's not an onus that he can't do his job.
But the onus is
that he made a mistake.
I made a mistake. That's
not an onus.
Why
onus?
Is that an onus?
Onus is when the pole can't do his job.
An onus in the hiring the worker, is that called an onus or not an onus?
No.
The circumstances definitely were out of my control.
No.
Everyone, what's an onus? Onus means what's everyone in the same situation do the same thing and have the same result.
Well, what are you being honest? I mean, if I
so therefore, if that's true, then that's called an onus, because that means the tether, natural order, caused these events to happen, not me.
If I got mugged on my way out of the wedding, that would also be an onus, but it has nothing to do with the fact that this
now. There's a halakha, what's called onus? There's a halakha bought in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if I hire a Rebbe to teach my child? And on the day when he's supposed to turn up, the child, Chas V'Shalom, dies. And now the Rebbe is willing to do his job, but there's no one to do the job for because the child dies. The Gemara, Mordechai, Ramah, Haskins, that's called an onus. And therefore, who has to suffer the losses? The worker. So we see that onus is not just in that, oh, the onus happens over here and there's no job. Or there's even an onus which now the worker's willing to do his job. There's nothing to do with him. But there's an onus which prevents him doing the job. That's also called an onus.
An onus is a third party intervening.
Yes. So what here, nature intervenes.
No, it was his mistake.
The death is
no,
nature.
That, right?
Right. So circumstances is also tethered.
You said even when it's present.
So you're saying that everyone else would make mistakes. You wouldn't do such a thing. Yes? Or is if everyone ditches, then there's onus.
But
if you're telling you just him, then you're right. Then there's not an onus. Would everyone happen to do the same thing?
But the case of the Rebbe is where it's preventing him from doing his job. It's not even in that case. It's only in that case.
There's different ways of getting. One way of getting the number is walking outside to the parking lot and writing about the request. Another way is between staff going up to the guy and saying, can I get your number? I'm interested in you 3 months from now. So there are other ways to get the key. Brought
okay, there's other ways. He brought the onus upon himself. Fine.
Why do you assume the number was on the truck?
So, but would everyone do the same thing in the situation or not?
No.
It's irrelevant.
So,
last week you added an extra criteria. You said he asked the Baal Simcha what's the name of the band. He told him it was Shimon Ben whatever. And so he had the name from the Baal Simcha and went out, saw the truck with the same name to the same wall.
Okay, it happens. Happened to you. I don't make things up.
Everything here is a real case.
Okay. Now, there is a discussion where here whether it's the onus. Let us assume that it's an onus. We'll see. Now, there's another Gemara. The Gemara says like this. What's the number for? Tana Rabbanon. Hasofa et Asvina. You hire a ship. Betovelo Bechatzi Aterev. And it sinks halfway through. Rabbi Nosson Omer. Rabbi Nosson says, what's our lock in that case? Do you have to pay for it or not? In Nosson Lo Yitel. If you've given money, you can't take it back. Bin lo nosim, if you haven't given money, lo yitzen, you don't have to give. Now let me ask over there. The ship is sank. Is that an onus or not an onus?
Depends why it's sank.
It's an onus. Much more onus in this case, yeah? So now we have the situation where the ship has sank. And it's an onus. And still the Gemara says, if you've already given the money, you can't get it back. Why not? We learned before, if there's an onus, then who has to suffer the loss? The worker. Here we've got a situation where there is a worker, onus, and the worker doesn't suffer the loss. If he's got the money, he can keep it.
There's
the difference?
There's no worker here.
Yes.
This is a ship driver.
The ship is not a worker.
Yes.
It's rental. It's not
no, he's not renting. He's cousinist. Very good. The cousinist discusses in the studio. Is it? It should be rental. But all the Rishonim look at is the worker. Why? Because he said you're not hiring the boat. You're hiring the guy to get you from one place to the other. He happens to be using the boat to do it. It's similar to the taxi.
Yeah.
Where you're hiring him as a worker to take you from here to Yerushalayim. Yeah.
A regular onus maybe didn't start. So the onus is that the transaction started, the transaction didn't end.
At, should make enough commitment. Here, that I got no benefit from your work. It sank, yes?
You got halfway there.
I even lost some goods on the way. Yeah?
No, I haven't seen that.
As an owner, now you want me to pay. And I have to. If I give it to you, you can't get it back. What's the difference? So, Tosis answers the question. He asked it and answers it. What's the difference? So, Tosis number 5 says like this. Yesem, given some not no sorrow, if you're willing to pay already money, nitzratzes yushalol alzer. And what are you basically saying? I'm saying I'm agreeing that this money should be yours. Avad abde enu shalos erasof, normally you pay at the end. Darke nitzot, but now that is what I'm doing. What does tosis mean? So, Shulman said, Desh explains what tosis means. Says like this. Why do we say normally that if there's an onus happens, that the one who has to suffer the loss is the worker? Why is that true? Why do we pick on the worker that is the onus? Oh, because the onus, the one who loses now is the worker. Why not? Why not the balabais? Why do we pick on the worker?
We do the possession 9/10 of the law.
No. Normally he would only get the money at the end.
And therefore why do we pick on him that he should lose if there's an onus?
Basically status quo. Status quo.
And if money hasn't changed hands, therefore, what's the logic that we should pick the worker to lose?
He doesn't have the money.
It stays in the hands of the balabai.
Why? No, that's a philosophic. We're talking about
Smora. He also can't. Onus is also on him, but he can't.
Both of them are onus. So why don't you pay? Why don't say Hawking 50-50? It's not no one's fault, so 50-50. Why do you say no, the worker loses? So the Rishat's like this. I make a deal with you. Now everyone knows when you make a deal, onus could happen. You don't know exactly what onus could happen. It could come that the onus comes along the board at some stage. So therefore, on whose obligation is to get me covered by that onus? Who has to make sure that the onus doesn't affect him? The one who hasn't yet got the money. You want to get money out of my hands? And there may be an onus along the way which prevent the whole thing blown up and not work happening. So therefore you want to get the money, so therefore you have to seek out your conditions before we start and say, you know what? I don't know what onus could happen, but maybe any onus happens, you should know. Even if onus happens, you still have to pay. That's how you have to speak. If you don't speak like that, then you're giving all the rights to the balabais, because you're the one who has to take something from him. So it's not because the sophic who say the money lays where it is, it's because the money's by him and you're trying to pull money out, then it's your obligation to cover yourself in many situations as possible. If you don't cover yourself, then you have to accept that you've lost because of those situations.
Wait a minute. Why should I even be entitled to money? I didn't perform a service for you in the end.
I did the work.
You didn't do the work.
Yeah.
You were an onus, you didn't do the work.
Halfway through, I did try my best.
You tried. I'm not paying you for trying. I'm paying you for a result.
No, yeah, you're paying me to do the job. I agree to do the job. I start doing the job because of Kenyan, or because we started the Malacha. We got already all the factors. Let's say there's a Kenyan.
But you didn't do the job.
But I got Kenyan. There's transactions.
But you still didn't do the job.
Now, I'll give you a
Kenyan is only.
I buy a house at the house falls down.
Right.
Who suffers the loss then?
So, was there a Kenyan?
Yes, there was a Kenyan.
So it's already my house. Yes. That's why I have to.
There's a Kenyan here. Let's say I buy a worker, there's a Kenyan, and now an onus happens. Who has to suffer? You already bought the worker. You have to pay, even if it falls down. What says the Kenyan? You had to have to pay. I even as owner doesn't matter. But we said the shy is that since you haven't given the money, then the owner says you want to take money, even under circumstances which may happen, so you have to speak it out. So therefore, when you pay the money up front already, and already given the worker money in his hand, then now who has to cover himself?
You.
Who has to cover himself? Then the balabais. Because now, if something goes wrong, he's trying to pull the money back. If he's trying to pull the money back, he has to speak out to all the conditions of onus. So if you've given the money, you don't get it back if the onus happens. If you haven't given the money, then you don't have to pay. So, in our case, what happens? Let's say it's an onus in our case. Are you ready? Gave the money.
Part of it.
Part of the money. So therefore, you've given the money, then you want to pull it back, then you have to cover yourself even in oxen. Yeah? And therefore, if you don't speak out, then you know what, if an onus happens, I want my money back. If you don't speak out like that, then you're going to have to suffer the loss. The balabites has to suffer the loss. And therefore, he has to keep the money where it is by the worker. And therefore, the worker, in this case, keeps his $400. Yep. Was he already paid? In Nosson, lo yitzel, you already paid the money, onus happens, you don't get it back. So, either there's no onus, which is discussion over here, or there's an onus, but you already paid the money, in such a case, the balabayas is the one who
loses.
Okay, you're going to give your homework for next week. There was a advertising firm. They advertised for people.
Let me just ask you one question. What if it turns out that this Shimon Ben Yosef guy we know is now using the same name Davka, so people should be fooled and hire him because they think he's the better. Like he calls his band the Beatles. And, you know, everybody calls him up.
If it's not against copyright law, which we'll discuss what exactly copyright law is and all those type of things, then what's he doing wrong?
He's misleading. He's Davka misleading. So, I want you to think on the other Shimon Ben Yosef.
Okay. What?
There is copyright law.
There is copyright law. Where do you apply it? How you apply it? So what issues does it apply? Is it a whole different thing?
The fact that I'm... So the fact that
there's
I'm
law, but who says it's halakha? Who says it's halakha? There's law, but there's halakha.
So the fact that I'm misleading doesn't factor into here. Okay.
Right. Now, so here's your homework for next week. Advertising firm. Advertise for people. There was an organization for a takeover of a hotel in the summer. And now they, for special, for 80 people. Yep. Want all the customers in a nice hotel. So, they want to use this advertising company to advertise it. So, they book and they pay up front. The whole money got paid. Just before they're about to start advertising, there is a police raid on the advertising company, and because of the investigation, they said you are not allowed to work for the next foreseeable future. You can't work. We're closing you down until we've sorted out the investigation. After 2.5 months, the police now allowed them to start working, but in between, they haven't been able to advertise for any of their customers. Now all the customers, including this holiday, they want it back. And they say, you know what, we hired you to do advertising, you did do advertising for us, and it's too late to do advertising, it's already after the holiday now. Too late. We use something else. We want our money back. China back is what? It's a bonus. So our fault. We were closed down by the police for 2 months.
Depends why the police raided
us. And we got all the money. So if you sight the ship that sank halfway through, you've already given us the money. If any owners happen, who has to suffer? The Balabais. You're the Balabais. I'm the worker. I already got the money. It's an onus. I'm not going to give back your money. No, the workers.
The workers.
Now they're allowed to work. So that's your homework next week. What do you think? Oh yeah, what's the schedule? So that means the share will start 15 minutes later. Okay. 8:15 Maris.